right. Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well, welcome to the very first episode of Technically Economics. I'm Dominic.
And I am Cassidy.
And we are two PhD students in economics at Harvard. We are coming to you from a very fancy recording studio at the Cambridge Public Library to record this brand new podcast. Cassidy, what is the plan here today?
Yes, so the plan for this podcast is that in each episode, one of us is going to bring a topic of discussion and try to convince the other one that that topic technically counts as economics. Sound good?
Yeah, I think I'm stoked. I'm ready. I think you're going to start today.
I am going to start today.
Okay, I'm excited. What is the topic we're going to discuss today?
Today, my friends, we are talking about Love Island, USA. Woo! So before we get into economics, I want to talk a little bit about like what the show Love Island is. I think you are not super familiar with the show. But I've had you watch an episode in preparation for this.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little about like what you knew about Love Island before you watched an episode?
Yeah. I think before I watch anything, I think my frame of reference was, like, I've seen a few episodes of The Bachelor, and so I was thinking kind of Bachelor-like, but maybe a little bit, you know, more bathing suit, a little bit more on an island. I think I don't think it's that similar to The Bachelor, but we're going to talk about the distinctions. But that was my experience. I've seen the memes, I guess, online.
Okay. So I made Dominic watch an episode of Love Island from the most recent season, season 7. Specifically, it was episode 19, the first episode of Casa Amor for any Love Island fans out there. Dominic, can you remember how long that episode was?
That is like the first thing to know about this show, which I was shocked by, is that it's like an hour and 40 minutes, right?
Yeah, yes.
So it's an hour and 40 minute episode. And then when you look through the episodes on like Peacock, there's one, I think, is it like 4 or 5 days a week? Is it every weekday?
Yes, 5 days a week.
So people are like watching the like feature length films with like not much plot 5 days a week.
Hey.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, so Love Island is a reality dating show which airs for about 6 to 8 weeks every summer. The show starts with usually 6 girls and 6 boys in the house. In the community, we call these cast members the OGs.
Okay.
At the start of the show, the girls and boys couple up, and then every few days, new bombshells. This is another important piece of vocabulary from the show. Yeah. A bombshell is a new hot person.
Okay.
A new bombshell enters the villa, and then there are opportunities to recouple. So there's kind of a musical chairs, and then occasionally islanders will get sent home, be eliminated.
Okay, yeah.
This all makes sense.
I saw some of this, I guess. I saw, like, the OGs, and then seemed like a lot of bombshells. Is that the right terminology?
So you saw Casa Amor, which is sort of a special set of bombshells.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get all into it.
Okay, sounds good.
So as Dominic said, there are 5 episodes of this show released per week, in addition to like a talk show one night a week where they discuss what's happened on the other 5 days.
Okay.
I actually don't watch the talk show.
Okay.
I value my time.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
I have 7 hours a week for Love Island and no more.
That's it. Yeah. That's fair. Listen, you got to set boundaries.
But this show, episodes are released near live, so we, the audience, are learning about what's happening in the Love Island villa only a day or two after it actually happens.
Then
this kind of facilitates like a core feature of the show, which is audience voting. So before I was kind of vague about how islanders get eliminated, there's not one set rule of exactly how it works, but usually how it kind of happens is that every week or so they'll do some kind of vote, like who is the most compatible or which is your favorite girl? And then the people who do poorly in that vote have the possibility of going
home. Okay, and I think the beginning of the episode, there's a recap. I saw like there was a vote the prior episode, or someone went home the prior episode, and that was
yes,
like some combination of of people on the show and America? Is that, I don't know the...
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. So I think America had done a vote and said, these are our bottom three girls, these are our bottom three boys. And then they did a fairly standard mechanic, which is to say the girls who are not in the bottom choose a girl to go home from the bottom three.
I see.
The boys who are not in the bottom choose a boy to go home from the bottom three.
That seems like it creates kind of weird incentives now. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like...
However do you mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, like... Okay, so I guess you're trying... The purpose of the show, I guess, in theory, is to find love. And if you are a... This is a very heteronormative show, I guess. If you're girl A and you like guy B and guy B likes girl C... If you're girl A, your incentives are like, I should vote off girl C because guy B and girl C like each other, which seems like pretty destructive and chaotic and maybe not super conducive to stable matches, but I don't know,
One could say that. One could say that.
Okay.
And so this is sort of how the show works. And then at the very end of the show, there is a game here that people are technically trying to win. So at the end of the show... They get down to four couples, and the audience then votes for a winner, and the winning couple gets $100,000 to share.
Oh, okay. So there is, like, it's not just finding love. I guess in The Bachelor there's some, like, maybe a monetary thing, too.
Is it I don't think
there's no monetary thing?
So I don't think there's a cash prize in The Bachelor, but I do think that the show buys them, like, a very nice ring and maybe it also helps fund, like, a wedding, perhaps?
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Okay. So there's, like, actually much more clear...
Yeah,
you want to stick around.
I think one thing people talk about on about this cash prize though is like $100,000 split between two people is like kind of small peanuts relative to the
come on now. That's we're grad students here. That would be a significant increase in my stipend. Yeah.
I'm not saying it would be small to me.
Okay.
Everyone comes out of the show an influencer, Dominic.
I see. Yeah. So that was another question I had was like, is the point of the show? Because I guess that's like something that's happening with The Bachelor now too. Is the part of the show is like, you try to get famous and then like parlay that into whatever Instagram advertisements. Is that also the idea here too?
Yeah. So like ideally, that's not the idea of the show, in my opinion. Okay. But I think I think we can't help that like that's going to be on people's minds. And also, I mean, I think conditional on being on the show, conditional on coming out of the show and having like a lot of people be talking about you, some in like pretty unflattering ways. I do kind of feel like, get your like Pringles ad deal or whatever, you know, you take your money. I got nothing against like the doing of the ads post being on the show.
Wow, yeah.
It's just that I feel like going into the show with the dream of like being a Pringles girl is like,
do you think that's not everyone's dream going into the show? I don't know. I guess that's another thing to talk about. I don't know if we're, like, what are the incentives of going? Do you think the incentives are the $100,000, finding love, or influencer, or just a good time? Maybe it's just a good time. Make out with a lot of single dudes or women.
Yeah, I think everybody has different reasons. I think all of those things are... I think people are interested in being famous. I think they're interested in hanging out for the summer with like some of like the hottest people in the world.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things that like look attractive about being on this show.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to get into the economics.
Okay.
Are you ready to hear why Love Island is technically economics?
I'm interested to see where you go with this. I can think of a couple directions, and I think it's going to be an uphill battle for you to convince me, but I'm excited. I'm excited for that battle, yeah.
Okay. So Love Island is fundamentally a matching problem.
Okay.
And matching problems are core economics, Dominic.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you recall about matching problems from our first year of graduate school?
I think not as much as you.
Well, that's because you don't watch as much Love Island.
That's fair. There's a bunch of different algorithms try to do to have different notions of like fairness or like incentive compatibility. But I guess in short, I don't remember a ton. Yeah.
Okay, so let's lay the groundwork here on like what a matching problem is.
Okay.
So the canonical matching problems in economics are you have a two-sided market where you have, in the classic version, you talk about it as a marriage market. That's like
it's very fitting here. Very fitting.
Typically, it's kind of a faux pas to now talk about matching between men and women. But here in Love Island, that's literally what we're going to do. So we're sticking with the
This is a good pitch for it being economics. It's like a little bit problematic. And
I think that actually when the Corps teaches this, they should do it in the framework of Love Island, and then that'll make it easier.
Listen, when you're a professor, this is doable.
Okay, so in a matching problem, you have like a group of men, you have a group of women, and you're looking for a way to pair them up together, one man and one woman.
Okay.
And you're sort of assuming that every woman has preferences over every man, and every man has preferences over every woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is kind of like, what kind of system do you want to use to set them up together? And there's what would we want a good, what would a good match look like? What would a good match kind of satisfy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
you need like criteria for this.
Like not obvious, like what's the best match overall, like how, but there are some things that we can talk about. And so the kind of core principle that we usually talk about in economics with matching problems is that you want a matching that is stable or has no blocking pairs. Do you remember what no blocking pairs means in a matching problem?
Well, I'll try. I think it's like you don't want like two people who would both prefer to be in a relationship together rather than the relationships that they get from the matching algorithm, right?
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, it's going to be a problem if you have couples who are people who are with other people in the match but would really prefer to be with each other.
Yeah.
And as you were kind of getting at, then the question people had in economics is like, what kind of system can we use to match people up? So that even if people are potentially trying to game that system or, you know, do something weird, we end up with something that's a stable match. And then the answer to that question won a Nobel Prize. It's the deferred acceptance algorithm or Gail Shapley. Any doctors out there, this is also the algorithm roughly that we use to match doctors to hospitals and residency matching. But I don't want to talk about residency matching. I want to talk about Love Island. And I think it might be fun to talk about here whether we think coupling mechanics on this show lead to stable matches. And we can kind of talk about this like on the macro level, like as a whole, the show, you can think of the show as like a 7 week long mechanism that produces one matching, but also like every week in the show there's recouplings, they're putting together in new ways. So you can think about like, are those intermediate couplings stable? And then do we think that ultimate coupling is stable? So just kind of going off the single episode you saw, do you have any first reactions?
I guess all of the matching algorithms assume like preference stability. So I guess like to your macro level point, you know, presumably here there's some like learning, I don't know, and there's probably models of this too, but there's some learning about who you're actually compatible with. And so that's going to make things like more complicated in the show than in reality. But you know, we do learning in economics, so very economics-y. Do you think, that's a question for you. Do you think the median Love Island contestant is a Bayesian learner?
No.
Okay. Just a thought. So I guess that's one thing. I guess there's like some learning, and so the show is not just purely matching. There's some like, you know, do I enjoy making out with this person or not?
I think to bring in something else here that we were kind of talking about earlier, when we talk about preferences, usually in a matching problem, we sort of like assume that your preferences over the people are like really your stable preferences for like who you want over time.
Yeah.
The one thing you said is like there's some learning here. But the other thing we've talked about earlier is that your preferences over my preferences over men in the villa probably aren't just about which man I would want to be with long term, but maybe those also reflect which person do I think is going to help me be the best influencer? Which person is going to help me stay here the longest? And so we might have like a notion of stability kind of like within show that could be different from stability outside the show.
I see. Is there like sort of short-termist strategy? Like I want to get to the next episode, so I'll like fake. I guess that's probably right. I want to fake being in a relationship. I want to make it to the next episode. Then I'm going to drop this guy, find someone that I can be with to get to the 100,000 or love or whatever.
Yeah, I think that there's totally room for being short-termist here. I think sometimes you do see that happen, especially because the rules of like when people are going to go home are kind of vague. But in general, if you are firmly with someone and like they would pick you and you would pick them, then it's harder to get booted.
I see. So there's a lot of sort of complicated pieces of it. And I guess the other thing too is like, it seems like show to show the way that they do matching sort of changes. Like when I was the episode I watched, there was like.
Yeah, so let's talk about the episode you watched. So you watched kind of a special recoupling.
Okay.
Because you watched the Casa Amor episode.
It was? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Let's go, Casa Amor.
People were very excited. So that was something, I mean, this is now an aside, but something I was confused about was like, all of a sudden they said the words Casa Amor and like everyone had the reaction you just had and I was just deeply confused.
I'm guessing maybe some of our listeners also don't know what Casa Amor is, so we can describe it.
Yeah.
So Love Island is this show where they're trying to get people in couples over time, and typically what happens is kind of about halfway through the show the couple sort of becomes stable. And even when you're bringing like new hot bombshells in, they're not necessarily turning people's heads as they call it in the show.
Okay.
And at this point, the show like gets a little boring. And so what they want to do is they want to like really, they want to really test the connections.
I see. Okay. Yes.
They want to make sure they're really stable.
That's a much more positive, I don't even know, but a much different view than create chaos.
So what they do is, with no warning, they split up the boys and the girls. They send one group to a new villa, Casa Amor.
Okay, that was something I was confused. So Casa Amor is both an episode and a concept, but also a physical place.
Casa Amor is a physical place, and it's an emotional place.
it's more of a mindset. It's more of a lifestyle, actually.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle, exactly. So we send the girls to Casa Amor. We keep the boys in the villa, and then we have, like, six or five new guys. Yeah, I think they did five this season. I think they have six girls, six guys, and then they bring in five new guys for the girls, five new girls for the guys.
Yeah.
And they had kind of a crazy way of doing it this season, yeah. Which was, do you want to describe how they brought in these new people?
Yeah, I guess for the, so
we can just talk about the guys.
Okay, for the guys, it was they blindfolded them all and put them in like headphones so that they couldn't hear. And then they said, we're going to do a kissing contest, which is already kind of crazy. Like, even without the new people, it's like you're kind of in couples with some of these people, and then you're going to do...
They pretty much do kissing contests every episode.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Next time, maybe I'll make you watch the lap dance episode.
Oh, God. Okay, so that's the other thing, too, is, like, this was an hour and 40-minute episode, and, like, 20, 30 minutes of it is just, people making out, like just like I don't know. I don't think I'm that prude, but it was crazy. It was like, and the other thing to know too, just take a step back, I guess, on this show, if you've only seen like The Bachelor or something, it's just like everyone is like mostly naked the whole time. It's just like ridiculous bathing suits.
With those bodies, how could you not be dominant?
I guess, okay, that's fair. That's so fair.
It would be a waste to cover them up all the time.
That's my bad.
Okay, so the guys, they're getting ready to kiss. They're blindfolded. They're earmuffed.
Yes. And then they switch out the six girls that were there. They tell them just quietly walk away. They bring in the five new girls like you talked about.
Yep.
And then they, each of the girls kisses each guy blindfolded.
So that's a total of 5 times 6. That's 30 kisses that we watch
and
on
we watch,
screen.
And we watch all of them. You think they would just... go to a montage at some point.
No montage.
No. We're going to watch all 30. And then they unblindfold the guys, and the girls pick. Then they choose among the six guys to trot a couple up. And there is like some. This is maybe where
so
we're going.
Let's
There's
talk
some,
about
like,
how
yeah.
that mechanism works. So this is one particular. So we've kind of talked about like the overall coupling mechanism, but then there's like a particular coupling mechanism here.
Yes.
And so the way this mechanism works is they ask all of the girls to go stand by their favorite
yes.
guy that
yes.
they've just kissed.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the girls stand in front of the same guy.
Yes.
And then there are like two remaining guys that don't have any girls in front of them.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you were running deferred acceptance, if you were wanting to match preferences, you know, end up with a stable match, at least with preferences as they stood at that time,
yeah.
what you would do is tell the guy to choose his favorite girl, which they do,
yeah.
and he does.
And this is the, just for the listeners who forgot first year economics like me, deferred, you're describing the algorithm that won the Nobel Prize. That
I'm describing the algorithm
stable,
that won
yeah,
the Nobel
deferred
Prize.
Acceptance is the algorithm that creates stable matches.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, thank you. So if two girls choose the same guy, the guy should choose the girl that he prefers. And if you were running deferred acceptance, you would have that girl then, quote-unquote, propose to her favorite of all of the other men. And if that man already has a match, then that man would choose his favorite between her and the match he
yeah.
has already, and then it would kind of keep going until everyone is matched up.
Yeah, and I always found that, like, I don't know, a little bit counterintuitive, but kind of cool that it's like you don't care at all about the men preferences unless there are ties. You just care about the women preferences, and then like the way that you break the ties creates these sort of stable matches. It's sort of intuitive because like you're not going to get two people who prefer to be in another one, but it's sort of interesting. But that is exactly what they do. I mean, not exactly. We'll get to that, I guess, the tie breaking, but. It is what they do in the show, kind of a version of that.
It's close to what they do, but
yeah.
they, instead of letting the girls choose from every remaining guy, they say, you can go to one of the two guys who hasn't yet been
yeah.
chosen.
So here, you really don't want to be in ties.
Yeah.
which is distinct from the deferred acceptance.
Say a
yeah.
little more about that.
Yeah, so I guess it's like, okay, so there's six guys, five girls. If you're in a tie, you only choose from the unchosen guy, so your options are limited. The guy gets to break the tie. So I guess if you see, this was like something, yeah, I guess I was thinking about when I saw it, is like, if you see someone go to a guy, you, it like really should be a strong disincentive from you going to that same guy, because now you're not going to be able to choose among anyone. You're only going to be able to choose among, like, the rejects, basically.
Yes.
And so that was like, you know, one thing I thought when I was watching this. It creates like super strong incentives to try to be first, because you know there's that disincentive.
Yeah.
And so there was like one crazy moment where like two of the girls are like both kind of about like kind of going for the same guy. They're like standing outside of his like platform or whatever. And they're like, ooh, should I go? Should I go? And they're like kind of being nice about it. And then they both end up going. And this is like, you know, yeah, it's like maybe like the economist in me that's like, I've been sort of brainwashed by this program to be like, no morals. Just, I was like, one of you needs to go and like run and just like stand on the platform and create this disincentive. But yeah, so there is this strong incentive to move quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so ultimately, yeah, maybe this, like for this reason, it's not necessarily what we would call like an incentive compatible mechanism where
yeah.
like it may not be, like you're saying, it may not be in your best interest to go stand by your favorite guy. But here's my take on this.
Okay. I'm excited for this.
So I do think that like overall some form of stability is kind of the goal of Love Island. And like whether those matches are stable on the outside, I do think like you want, like, on a meta level, you want stability. But I think
okay.
on the micro level of these, like,
yeah.
matches episode to episode, I think you actually explicitly don't want stability.
Yeah, you want, I feel like you want a degree of chaos, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and you want, I think when the show sometimes gets stale is when, like, people get into relationships on some kind of first impression. So, mind you, they are
yeah.
making these coupling up decisions, the girls are choosing their favorite guys off of like having kissed them all blindfolded.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the guys are like, when the guys have to break a tie, they don't even know like
yeah, that's true.
Which,
which
one
kiss
kissed,
kissed
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, can I ask you a related question about first impressions, which is gonna maybe take us slightly off topic?
Yes, please do.
when they introduce these girls, they have like this like 30-second intro video where they're like, they give like a description of themselves and then like a fact. And then like the fact is always like their sexiest fact. Like I go to the gym and I don't know what else. But Cassidy,
yeah,
what would you say if your 15-second sexiest
fact?
For my sexiest fact? Like, I spent a lot of time in this PhD not making any money. Sometimes I have, like, anxiety, but most of the time I play it cool.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think maybe, like, I know how to use so many resources from the public library.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we're here. That's what brought us here today.
Last week I got free like state park passes from the public library.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, they
do
have.
You
all
rent the pass or do you?
No, you just like sign up for it online and then you can come pick it up and then they give you a free pass to like get into a bunch of the state parks.
Why are people paying for state park passes?
Yeah, I know. It's
crazy. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's
pretty sexy.
Yeah,
no?
I guess. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, that would play.
I do like often just want them to have like one weirdo in there and like
yeah.
And I feel like on the guys sometimes like they do kind of have a weirdo, but it's not like a nerdy weirdo.
No.
It's just like oh wouldn't want to speak to him.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are some women who are both so hot and so weird, and like throw a few more of them in the mix.
I mean, yeah, I guess there's like, again, this is going off one episode. Like, there are people that are weird, but weird in, like, the way, you know, I don't know. There's, like, a stereotypically hot and weird way where it's, like, you've been so hot your whole life that you have, like, no personality and just, like, you just say things and expect people to think they're funny. And, like, there was some of that, but I think you mean, like, a weird in, like, a cool and interesting way.
Yeah, I mean weird in a cool and interesting way. I want someone who didn't, like, who was, like, very awkward in middle and high school.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
Was a late
Had
bloomer.
Had to grope with that.
Yeah, I want late bloomers.
Yeah,
did
you
say grope with
that? Freudian slip.
So, we've kind of talked about these reasons why, like, yeah, probably the show actually literally doesn't want stable matches throughout. And I think I was maybe starting to say this before, but partly what you don't want is people who sort of get into an initial relationship off of, like, a very weak feeling.
Yeah.
But then you kind of just have, like, a first person I talked to bias.
I see.
And then, like, you end up staying talking to that same person, even though clearly there's no real spark. And I think that this, like, totally happened this season. I think this was, like, a big complaint about the season is that in the initial coupling, there were just, like, a few couples that got together really early, never seemed to have, like, great passion, but, like, were both kind of jealous when they talked to other people and certainly kind of liked each other. And then, like, there just wasn't enough, like, oomph to ever get out of that.
Yeah.
And I kind of think if you start off with, like, a more completely random match to start, then there's less pressure to, and I actually can't remember how they did the initial coupling this season, but in general, I think there are some benefits to like putting people together in a way that people don't feel as like, oh, and we should really try to make
this work.
Yeah,
because everyone knows it's random. And that was like I guess a question I had, which was like, it seems like there's like a set of norms on the show which feel like totally crazy in the real world, where it's like they do these couples and then the next day you're like, you know, hanging out with your couple person, or like I guess that night you're hanging out with your couple person, and then like someone else comes in and is just like, hey, can I steal her for a sec? And the norm is just to be like, yeah, that's cool. But I guess that's right, is that like if the initial matching is like pretty random and not, then you get more of that and you get more of the
I think that's right. But they do make it also like you have to do a lot of stuff with the person you're coupled up with.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of just like from a personal comfort, even let's take a totally kind of naive perspective, maybe not naive. Let's take a totally cynical perspective.
Okay.
And say that everyone who goes on here is entirely interested in optimizing for Instagram influence post the show.
Okay.
When you're in the house and you're coupled up with someone, You're sleeping in, like, a pretty small bed with them every night.
That's, like, another thing that I found crazy, having never seen this show before. Like, unlike the Bachelor and other shows, everyone is in, like, one room in, like, I guess, maybe not twin, but, like, you know, maybe full-size beds max with, like, an arm's length between them. And so...
And the guys are, like, pretty big guys.
Yeah, bulky guys. And so it's, like... You're next to the person that you slept with the night before in, like, a different bed with, like, a different guy. And, like, also just, like, the – if someone snores, you're probably also, like, sleep-deprived. Cause
oh, yeah.
Like,
I think these people are totally sleep-deprived, like, the entire show. And they're filmed 24/7.
It's – like, that I found, like, to be one of the most crazy parts of the show. I don't know.
Yeah. But, like – So you're sleeping together every night.
Yeah.
You're also, I mean, there's not that much, like, substantive activities on the show. Mostly you're just, like, sitting around shooting the shit with people.
Yeah.
Often the person you're coupled up with. And so if you are, like, not actually into that person, that's a lot of acting you have to do for a very long
time.
That's
fair. Yeah.
Compared to, like, The Bachelor or something, where it's, like, they have dinner two times over the season.
And you're also, like, in that show, I feel like it's, like, we're at a castle in, you know, Monaco or whatever. There's no castles in Monaco, probably. But you know what I mean? Like, we're in Monaco and we're at a castle in Germany. And so it's like, that's, you know, you can have a good time. I can have a good time with anyone at a castle in Germany for a night.
Yeah.
But here you're just, you know, in whatever, in normal casa and second casa.
So I think that this is part of why I think that the show, even though there's, like, certainly a lot of intentional instability throughout the show, I think among the universe of dating shows, I think that this show maybe does do a better job of, like, ultimately producing stable matches.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because
of this, so a couple of things. So one, we've talked about, like, learning your preferences.
Yeah.
So I think in other types of settings like The Bachelor, it's actually kind of hard to learn your preferences because your time is so limited.
Yeah. And the time that you spend is, like, again, doing these, like, super nice, like, do I love this person or do I love, you know, castles in Germany? And, like,
yeah. And it's like, if someone, like, chews in a weird way, is that going to, like, come up on The Bachelor?
Or
someone is, like, really weird every time they talk about their roommate, is that going to come up on the I don't know. Like, I think you don't get that kind of everyday stuff as much, which, like, is important for, like, understanding who you get along well with and who you can really have a future with.
Yeah, I guess you really see how people, like, treat other people in a way that maybe you don't on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. You can compare your own couple to other couples in the same situation, I feel like.
You can see people with kind of friends, like, people form friendships on the show, and the guys, you see how your guy acts around you, but you also maybe see how he acts around the other guys.
Yeah. Whether he makes other people breakfast.
Whether he makes other people breakfast. Yeah.
You sent me this New York Times. New York Times article about this. Yeah.
Yes. Love Island and the New York Times. It made my week to see.
Yeah.
I was gonna say another thing. Casa Amor starts. The boys and girls are fully separated. And then I think you might have seen this. Like, usually the first day or two of Casa Amor, they make them do some kind of, like, challenge together. This is separate from the challenge we already talked about, but they usually have them do a challenge with the new people where it's just like, kiss, kiss, kiss.
Okay.
And so they have, I can't remember if this was in the episode you watched, but so they'll do this challenge where it's like the main villa versus Casa Amor. It's like a kind of a race and they'll just get these rapid fire prompts that's like, the tallest guy kisses the shortest girl. And then they have to, like, quickly kiss, and then they tell them, like, which villa won, and then they're all excited. And so they do this. Both villas know that, like, the other villa is doing this. And so then sometimes they're like, oh, the tallest guy, that's Chris.
Oh, that's Chris. So good. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so chaotic.
So that's amazing. Yeah. And then they can't contact each other. And so a lot of times, like, part of the drama of Casa Amor is, like, these couples were sort of loosely defined before Casa Amor. It wasn't quite clear how committed they were.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like, another thing that I noticed, too, where it was, like, you had, I'm going to forget their names.
Nick and Sierra.
Nick and Sierra, exactly. Yeah. And they were, like, you know, they had, like, a disagreement at the beginning of the show, but then they talked about it, and they were, like, really mature about it, and, like, you feel really good about the relationship, and they're, like, And then they get to the separate houses, and I guess, I think it was Nick or someone else was just like,
yeah, Nick.
Yeah, like, I know that I'm in a relationship, but I just want to be, like, respectful to the new girls and, like, make sure that I, like, you know, make out with them and give them a chance. And it's like, okay, I guess that's, I don't know, that's, like, weird. The norms of the show, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the norms, baby, but that's, and this might be a crazy take, but I think this is all part of, like, why we plausibly get to a stable match in the end, because they are just trying to destroy
that's fair. Yeah.
At all times. Yeah. And so if you are a couple that is getting through over and over again, just having like the hottest people in the world coming in front of you and production crew being like, kiss them, kiss them. And then after that, you're like, no, actually, I think I still like the first girl.
Can I ask a question? Is it, do people like the first girl, or is it just like they always chase the new shiny object? Like, are the relationships at the end, are they things that come from the beginning or no?
It depends season to season. I think this season, really not. Like, this season was kind of crazy in that it ended with, spoilers. Spoilers. If you haven't watched it,
I guess Love Island is not a show that you watch not in real time, right?
Yeah, don't watch it later. I'm sorry, but you've missed it at this point. You can join in next year if you'd like to, but don't go back. And I also, Love Island always gets kind of boring at the end of the season. So I feel like everyone I know who watches Love Island watches pretty religiously the first, like, 5 weeks and then hits a point of fatigue where also the couples get more boring.
Yeah,
This season, like, there was only one couple, or maybe there was even no couples at the end that had been together for more than, like, a few weeks.
Can the people in the villa see stuff that's going on online?
No.
Okay, so it's a one-way. It's a one-way.
Yeah. It's a bubble. Occasionally, they'll do things like, they'll have challenges where they reveal certain information from the outside. So they'll be like, sometimes they'll show them like an unflattering tweet about them, or they will do votes on like who is the most insincere in the villa, and then they will tell them like the ranking of how people ranked them in sincerity.
Wow.
But
can I ask another? This is going to get way off topic, but I'll bring it back to economics. So it's like, do you think this show is at all designed for the preferences of America? Question one. And then to bring it back to economics, question two, do you think that, like, are there matching algorithms where you don't just consider, like, the man and the woman, but you consider, the social
a third
planner?
Person's preference.
The social planner, as we call it. God, as some call it. Social planner, as we in the business call it.
That's a great question. So definitely the show is catered to America's preferences. And so I think like one important way in which the show certainly doesn't get, so it depends what we call like a stable match. Like if let me backtrack a second.
Okay.
So I think maybe like the easiest bar of stable match for the show to reach is to say, okay, in the final four couples, is it true that no two people who aren't coupled up together would prefer to be coupled together than with their current partners?
Yeah.
That's one definition of stability. And I think that that is probably true. I think
in the show.
Of those just like final four couples, like none of them would prefer a different one. They've been together a long time at that point. There would have been ample opportunity. But a much harder definition, which the show like certainly wouldn't pass, is like, take every man and every woman who like walks into the villa at some point. Are the couples that sort of like leave the show together or kind of together at the conclusion of the show, even if they're not literally on the show, are those stable, or are some of those people who would like prefer to be with others?
And you don't think it?
And I think that that is not true. And I'm trying to answer your question. I'm getting back to America. No. But so the sense in which we are bringing in America's preferences that is breaking that notion of stability is like, sometimes you will have a guy and a girl who are happy together, but one of them is pretty boring. That is like exactly what had happened, I think, in the episode just before what you watched, and we saw some of the aftermath, was we had Hannah was with Pepe, and they seemed like pretty darn happy together. Pepe was super into her, and everyone liked Pepe a lot, but the girls just didn't get along with Hannah that much, and I think America didn't like Hannah that much.
Yeah.
And so Hannah was in the bottom three, and the girls booted her. And then Pepe dated a little bit after that, but it seemed like he was still pretty sad about Hannah and would have preferred to have been with Hannah.
Okay.
So we are failing on that notion of stability, certainly.
Yeah.
But
do people ever, like, do the two of them find each other in real life?
Do they find each other after the show? It's a good question. I'm not sure. So he did end the show, like, coupled up with someone else and at least, like, ostensibly was acting into that.
Yeah.
I think it was just sort of unclear how real that was because it had only been a couple of weeks.
Okay. But that is a sense in which it seems like the show is, like, that's a hard problem, right? It's like you need now to consider the preferences of the men, the women, and America.
Yes. And I don't know that there is a notion of matching that, like, fully does that, because so one thing I can think of that's related is so residency matching is, like, the biggest application of these types of algorithms in the world. Is, like, you have hospitals which have preferences over doctors, and you have doctors which have preferences over hospitals. Something that has historically been, like, pretty hard to figure out how to work into the mechanism is couples.
Yeah.
When you have couples that both need to match, then doctors have different preferences over, or hospitals have different preferences over the two people. But a married couple really, really wants to be together. And I think for a long time, the algorithm that was used was kind of gameable. Like, it was not always in your best interest to report what you honestly wanted, which is a problem for various reasons because it's hard to tell. Yeah. So that feels like much simpler than the problem of just having, like, and all of America has preferences too. My understanding is that that was a hard problem, and I'm not even sure the extent to which it's fully solved. I think it's an open question.
Yeah, there was some, like, public labor paper I was reading one time where it was like, you know, because you also get like similar sorts of matching problems among, like, they'll have, like, employers and workers and you try to match. I mean, similar to the med school thing. And I think there was something I was reading once where it was like, okay, you have, like, employers and you have, like, people trying to, like, find jobs. But, you know, as, again, like, social planner, the government, you want, you know, you maybe want, like, a lot of your smart people to be, like, teachers because it has, like, super big, like, spillover effects for, like, your society. And instead they all become, like, finance bros. And so it was, like, how do we, like, I think it was, like, measuring some of that and trying to figure out how to fix it. I don't know that it, like, solved this problem, though.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's a hard problem. But I think Love Island, not a crazy attempt.
Yeah. I'm sympathetic now to the, like, at first I came in and I was, like, this show is just designed to create chaos, but if the people want chaos, and I guess you have this other, like, pretty intricate theory of, like, chaos creates the crucible of Love Island creates these strong relationships. I guess those are two.
Yeah.
Oh, can I add one more piece of economics that I
saw? Add one more piece.
So did you notice? I don't know if this is, like, maybe this is obvious for the longtime Love Island watchers. When they're, like, washing their faces in the morning, this is the only one I caught, but there's probably more, they, like, zoom in, like, very close on the, like, the Cerave bottle. And they were doing, like, a bunch of, like, ad placement throughout.
Oh, yeah. So much ad placement in Love Island. They'll have celebrity guests, which is, like, very fun. They had, like, Meg Thee Stallion come do a twerking competition this season. But, like, yeah, all kinds of products. And then not only products, like, in the actual show, but then I think I had mentioned to you that, like, the ads you see, the commercials you see during the ad breaks on Love Island also heavily feature Love Island cast members from previous seasons advertising. Yeah. Whatever. So it's a very, like, heavily branded show.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, so I guess, again, back to the incentives to, like, get onto the show.
Yeah.
Then you can
There was a guy on last season, his name was Cordell, and I think he had a brother who was, like, a professional athlete. Okay. And he was like, you know, he's like a 22-year-old man. He was like, you know what my ambitions are? My brother, he got to do a Cheetos commercial. And I would really like to do commercial. I think he did. Oh, I think he did.
You love to hear dreams come true. I feel like that's...
I could be wrong. It could be Cheez-Its. Don't attack me if I got the snack food wrong. But I know it's a cheesy snack.
I feel like that's not, like... It's not a crazy dream. I would like to do a Cheez-Its commercial.
We heard
or
it here
Cheetos
first.
Commercial. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dominic's dream, either Cheetos or Cheez-It commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you need.
I feel like, I don't know, what. Like if I died, I feel like I will have achieved something. Yeah.
Would it have to be a video ad, or what if it was like a podcast ad? Would that count?
I think a podcast ad would count as long as they give me like some ad lib. You know what I mean? Like they have like...
I don't think commercials are usually ad-libbed.
No, no. I feel like podcast commercials, they'll be like, and then, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like
podcast,
yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think that's about all I have to say then.
Okay.
So I guess we have our closing question,
yeah,
Dominic,
yeah, yeah.
Which is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how economics is Love Island?
I feel like coming into this episode, I would have said something very close to one. I mean, I don't know. I guess
one?
No.
You have no faith in me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the matching algorithm. I thought you were just going to do sort of like the matching algorithm in Casa Amor, and it's like kind of deferred acceptance, but not. So I was ready. I was ready for that conversation. I think we went a lot further than that in ways that I thought were actually pretty interesting. We got to... You know, I feel like we at one point were discussing a matching problem that could be like, you know, a paper one day. If you have I'm sure there's actually, it's like one of those things where I'm sure if we Google it, there's like a million of these papers already. But
We
won't Google it. Yeah, exactly. That's the key. If there's one thing I've learned in grad school, it's don't Google before. Like just take the idea that you have. And just appreciate that it's like potentially a novel idea and go home and sleep on it. And then the next day you can Google it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think
give
just
yourself
that,
one day.
Exactly. 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 Yeah. If you Google everything immediately, you'll never have any. I'll give it an 8.5.
8.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, which is maybe bad because I got a long way to go. But yeah. You did a good job.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Bye.
Bye.